Welcome back here on Sports Talk on WWL, talking all about Saints mini camp. Our coverage continuing today and into tomorrow for the Black and Gold. And then on Thursday, we'll have a wrap-up show as well. Getting into some sound for today, our first American sound bank brought to you by First American Bank, a banking tradition since 1910. The big news, obviously, from today, Cam Jordan back for a 16th season. The deal finally getting done. Saints fans can stop asking about Cam. Will he be back? He is coming back, folks. And here he talked to the media for a good bit. Here's some good clips of Cam back in the black and gold for a 16th season. Let's hear it.
You know, overly appreciative of the Saints organization, of you guys, of every random fan that we've talked to the last 15, 16 years. And just excited to be back in the city. I think we got a lot of work to accomplish, especially with the Cam Jordan Foundation, how we've been able to send kids to school the last couple of years. Looking forward to doing more. I think we're about to activate, you know, 16 years, 16 weeks of give backs to New Orleans. We've got so much plans in the works already. Even if I hadn't been here, I still would have given back. But I'm overly blessed and highly favored for being here.
Was this in doubt? Were you not sure that this would happen like a month ago or 2 months ago?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, just the way you finished last year, you have to open it up to whatever avenue it is. You know, I think we've got a quite talented edge room already when you talk about Carl Granderson and Chase. And then, of course, the draft comes and we don't draft an edge, but we trade for a young top fiver, top 10. I mean, Tyree's top five, I believe, right? Seven. Oh, sorry. Gosh darn it. So top 10. And of course, you know, they signed back Chris Rumpf, and you talk about Fadil Diggs coming into a second year. So you've got a stronger room than you did last year. And so it's just, you know, if it's puzzles come in, and the open line of communication I've had with Mickey, as well as the Saints and all my guys here, has been nothing short of you know, a blessing. And at the end of the day, you know, it was a mutual benefit for us to come back. From what I want to do with perspective, I always believe in, you know, black and gold, and how, you know, I'm still pumping up the draft like I'm still part of the team. I don't think that is ever going to change. The way that I want to affect this city, I don't think that's ever going to stop. I think I still went to a couple school visits, like different, but still same, you know. So, of course, there's always avenues that you could take that'll take you away from home, but it's become home for us. So you always end up back at the crib.
Cam, you said in the, it said in the video that you just recently posted, one city, one team, one final season. Is that one final NFL season, or is that one final?
I don't ever want to do this again. This whole off season. I just told Kai, I was like, I don't like this. This, yeah. So we're going to take it. We're going to take everything the way we want to. Year 16. I mean, how many more years do you want me to play? Like, what do you want from me? A couple years ago, so we're just, you know, I definitely am going to take to this like every game is my last to ever play. And I'm going to be, like I said, overly appreciative of all my teammates. Brian Brzee calls me every other week, if not every week, talk to, you know, all my guys, Carl, Chase, Ike. Yeah, Gaucho. Yeah, big Gaucho for sure. I keep seeing Gaucho every which way. But I mean, I've got phenomenal teammates. I talk to AK, let's call it every 4 days. You know, like all my teammates have been so locked in with me. I've talked to Shuck 4 or 5 times this offseason, pestering the hell out of me, honestly, about when I was signing back. Like, I didn't have any other avenues. It's crazy. But like I said, I'm overly blessed and excited to be back with the team. Can't wait for, no, I can wait for that. I can't wait for summer camp.
That was a long answer, but does that mean final is final, or you're just going to treat it?
There's only, yeah, I'm going to treat it like it's final season with intention, because I believe between God and my wife, that's the only two people that could get me back through.
Obviously, we don't need to get into all the financial details, but obviously there was something.
That's for Kai. Kai's here for?
You didn't love at first. Did you eventually decide the other stuff outweigh that, or did you have to make some concessions to get you here?
Did I have to make concessions to get me here? Yeah. I think that in any negotiation, there's always going to be things that you want and can get through. And at the end of the day, it was more along the lines of what our family felt. So I kept sort of deferring to, you know, not only my foundation, but to my wife about, well, I was like, yo, it's good to come back, right? And I was like, we're not going to have any. Great. All right. So as long as we were clear there, contract wise, there was a couple bumps that we just cleared up recently, and then it sort of cleared the path.
What ultimately got this deal over the finish line? Like, who reached out to who?
No. That's why I brought the four up. That's the final part. Yeah. The dad, you know, like I said, about 2 weeks ago, he's like, hey man, you know, you're affecting our lives here. I was like, oh no, I did not know that. I could have sworn us moving to Arizona, it would have been the same everyday routine. But no, that'd be the final part. When you look at these, you know, four beautiful kids growing up, their whole lives have been here. So they don't know how not to carry on. And, when you had that conversation, I was like, all right, let me just humble myself here and let's get this done, which is awesome because I've got, like I said, I've got so much intended for this city with this upcoming year with the foundation.
Has it been hard? I know that you were always present during OTAs and minicamp. Has it been hard? Did you miss it?
No. No, it was not. I don't know if you've seen this. I've golfed a lot. Things I hope to never have to do again. You know, like golfing is fun if you get paid for it, I'm sure. But yeah, I think this offseason has been phenomenal for, you know, the fam. We went off to Japan for a month. You know, kids saw Korea. I've done a lot of side quests. Yesterday was happily at the World Cup games, you know. And then I was like, somewhere that morning, I was like, let me call good old Mickey Loomis. And just sort of was inspired to get back as soon as I could.
Cam, to that point, it seemed like the front office was pretty adamant about bringing you back, and they were vocal about it too. How heavy did they weigh with you in your decision?
Oh, yeah, it's overly appreciative when you get a phone call from your head coach like, hey, man, want to respect your space at the same time, come on in. And I'm like, you know, you love the personal connections that you do have. Talking to my guy, Jay Rogers, and Staley, and just making sure we could be on the same alignment of what I want, what the team wants. I still want a Super Bowl. I think that, you know, like I said, without saying I was all in that draft, I was all in, you know, like just watching every draft pick we had and was getting excited about it. I was like, oh, okay. I said, now we got, you know, two highly touted defensive tackles, you know, in two consecutive years. You've got Brian Brzee headed into his, you know, his fourth year. I think there's a lot of talent interior-wise. You talk about Godshall, Nate Shelp. You bring in the ideas of what we can do, again, on the edge. You know, I think there's a lot of talent. So why wouldn't I want to be a part of it?
A couple of years ago, you actually said probably no season 16. So what changed last year?
Good question.
Well, in my mind, there was a couple years ago, I said probably no 16, but then like year 14 sort of got deemed as like a nose tackle year, and I like it didn't really count in my mind. So
this is
yeah, this is technically year 15. Yeah. I should have said 15 years at edge. Yeah.
You said you were at the World Cup game. You called Mickey Loomis. Is there anything you can kind of share about that phone call and kind of that process?
It was sort of quick, brief. I think it was like, what time did we call? Like 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock, about 11, somewhere brunchish. And was like, you know, like, hey, I'm all in. He's like, we need you to be all in. And I said, I don't know any other way. I don't dip toes in the water. I dive in.
Kevin, you think this team's good? Like, it's always this team's going to win the Super Bowl. But, like, guys in your position, a lot of times you see them ring chase. Like, why here and not? Like, why was it so important for you to come back here and maybe not consider some of the other options that you have?
One, because they're all cold. Ew. and two, I mean, when you look at our roster, you see the growth. You see the development. You see Tyler Shuck. You look at CO. You see the explosiveness of a Jordan Tyson. You see how Devon Valet was playing last year. You see Jawan Taylor. We bring in some WWE kids. I mean, I just think there's so much talent on the roster itself. You know, we go out and get a guard, which I think that should help. Offensive line, yay.
A lighthearted question. You've had some different looks. Is this because, like, you're going out like you came in with this look?
I need a job. You know, this is my job. You gotta be manageable when you're jobless, sitting on the couch with the kids, and they're like, "What you gonna do today?" What are you gonna do today? But no, I mean, at some point you got to reset. I don't think the silver hair could have lasted a whole another season. I will be a silver fox one day. It just won't be anymore, anytime soon, hopefully. I could be like Sharif. Maybe it all goes away. Damn. I love you, Super Bowl. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's because. Did you? What'd you say about silver hair? Yeah, she was just like, are you doing this for real? And then the second time I dyed it, got too blue. And she was like, that's what you get. And I was like, yeah, no, that's it. I didn't. Go ahead, hit it.
When you're talking about your free agency, you talked a lot about having an opportunity to have 10 to 12 sacks, and you didn't know whether that was going to, like, the playing time element was going to be here. Did you get clarity on that throughout this process?
Absolutely. And at the same time, again, I think we've got great edges in our room, and be the room where they lie. I think that there's a higher purpose this year, whether that's the motivated every play is going to be felt like my last, or it's the, hey, how can I get my guard Carl Granderson to 10 sacks, or how can I get Chase to 20? Because I think they have the capability to do so. I know what I can do. And if I can push my teammates to be the best version of them, how much farther can we go as a team?
You said you kind of had to humble yourself a little bit. Were you prepared at all for that possibility going into free agency, coming off the season you had? And how did you handle that?
Every offseason is different. This wouldn't be the first one where I actually saw a free agency situation. And as you're fielding phone calls and seeing the vision or lack of vision, you're like, it gets dark out there. You know, like there's opportunities, and you literally have to sit and weigh your options and talk it out, think it out, and figure out what's the best move is. And then I got really comfortable and just like, roaming around, training in the morning, playing some pickleball and going home. And I was like, oh, I'm getting too happy. I was like, I got to really start training. And then, somewhere in this last week or two, again, talking to the kids sort of snowballed the effects of, all right, let me get back home.
That was Saints defensive end Cam Jordan. Signed, sealed, and delivered, Cajun Cannon. Back. You had me print this out. Really impressive list. Obviously, the NFL all-time sack leaders. And Cam has a chance to vault up this list this season, his last season, too. So he's not going to make it to the top of the heap, but he can still make it, I guess.
Top six.
Top six for sure, right?
If he has the kind of production he had last season, you all know how I think and the Who Dat Nation thinks of legendary Dawn Patrol Ricky Jackson. Ricky Jackson, along with the Saints and 49ers, ended up winning a Super Bowl with the 49ers. 128 sacks.
Passed him already.
Yep. Cam, 132. Cam is tied, or not tied, but he's a half a sack behind Lawrence Taylor. I think everyone knows who Lawrence Taylor is.
No doubt about it.
Now, if he would have, okay, not even what he did last year, if he just have eight more sacks, now you think about that, he would be at 140. Right behind Michael Strahan, who would have 141.
So that would put Cam seventh all-time then.
So you look at that company, and then you go in there and you add, like, nine sacks. Yeah, he'd be sixth overall at 143 behind Chris Dolman. Chris Dolman, I played with him with the Vikings. And not with the Vikings, but with Atlanta. Then you look at Julius Peppers, the one who didn't look the part, but he had 160 sacks, Kevin Green from the Rams and then the Carolina Panthers. And everyone talks about Reggie White, but you would think Reggie White might be an all-time sack leader. No, it is Bruce Smith. Bruce Smith from Virginia Tech doesn't get enough love. Now, he had right at 200 sacks, Reggie White 198. Now, Reggie White did start off in the USFL with the Memphis Showboats, before playing with the Eagles and the Packers. But Bruce Smith, maybe if they don't want a Super Bowl, he'd be recognized more. But football people know Bruce Smith. He looked the part. You know, I would say two guys I told you, I was like, they don't look that intimidating. Kevin Green and then even John Randall. John Randall with the Vikings, 137 and a half sacks. Cam is 5.5 behind him. But just so darn productive. Like Richard Dent, Richard Dent with the Bears. He had 137.5 sacks. See, Steve, you see this scar on my elbow?
That's courtesy of Richard Dent?
Yes, exactly. So I look at him, well, I said at least I got hurt
one
by—
one of the best.
One of the best of the Bears, Richard Dent, you know, Dan Hampton. That's what I always say. They had the greatest linebacking core besides the Dawn Patrol and the Saints. Because I was looking at 4-3 versus 3-4. And I said, oh, Bobby, what about the Giants? And they were a 3-4 defense. No, they had three, not necessarily four linebackers, like a Pat Swilling, Von Johnson, Sam Mills, Ricky Jackson. Now, as far as a 4-3, only three linebackers, the best in history, there was no weak link with the Chicago Bears. That 85 Bears,
yeah,
on the outside, Wilbur Marshall and Otis Wilson, and yet Mike Singletary in the middle. That was the best. It's different because they had— it's a 4-3 versus 3-4. So the Dome Patrol and that Bear linebacking core, the best in NFL history. And until you show, like, you might have other outstanding linebackers on that level, but I'm talking about as a group, as teammates all playing at the same time.